Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. Hope you are having a great morning. I know it's raining outside. It's kind of nice, though. We've needed it. We've been in drought conditions. I can tell already that it's making a difference outside, which is a good thing. We will go to the talk lines in the back half of the 12 o'clock hour. We want to hear from you. Big mayor's race. Reminder, early voting starts Saturday, September 27th, 2025, and it goes through October 4th with one day off, which is September 28th, that's Sunday, and the election's on October 11th. And just a reminder that we live in the freest country that ever existed in the history of the world, and I love to remind folks of that. We should appreciate it. In the beginning of the 12 o'clock hour, Bonner Cohen, senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research, will talk about the unfavorable commercial and political climate relative to wind and solar. There's some litigation that's out there as well on this. A number of different incentives are being eliminated and pulled. What does this mean for that industry? Eugene Kantorovich, senior research fellow at the Heritage Margaret Thatcher Center for Freedom. About 10 countries supporting a Palestinian state, Britain, France, and a number of others, Australia and a number of others are supporting that, Canada too. What does it mean right now? Does this improve the chances of getting all of the hostages back? Or are we rewarding Hamas at this juncture? The president seems to believe that we're rewarding Hamas and we're sending the wrong message. We'll explore that at 11:30. Jeremy Nagosian, senior fellow and economist at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We'll talk about this warning about this alleged link between Tylenol and autism. What does it mean? Why is this issue pressing now? And why is the president going to the podium and handling the press conference on this medical issue? What evidence did they bring forward? We'll talk about that at 11:10. The Port of New Orleans Show with Emily Federer, Director of Sustainable Development, Port NOLA, and Jennifer Nanette, Director of Engagement Institute for Sustainable Infrastructure. We're going to talk about the fact that the LIT will be the first new greenfield container terminal in the U.S. What does that mean as it relates to being a sustainable infrastructure framework? So we'll dig deep into that issue at 10:30. So I wanted to talk about this. You know, we know what's going on in Dallas as it relates to immigration, ICE, CBP, Border Patrol, and others. It just so happens the same morning, Governor Gavin Newsom in California calls a press conference and begins to talk about a lot of what's going on. He signed some new state laws this month and was talking about that, and that it would prohibit federal and local law enforcement, including immigration agents, from wearing masks or other face coverings while on duty, with some exceptions. They must also visibly display identification. the Department of Homeland Security has condemned this mask ban and argues that it endangers agents and the state has no authority to regulate federal operations. And the list goes on and on. They put into law all kinds of restricted access for enforcement, which is really, it is almost nonsensical, because you, as a citizen of this country, you do not enjoy these same protections. Now, if anybody can square that up for me, please call in, because I want to hear that this diatribe supporting that situation. That as a U.S. citizen, it's okay for you to be the subject of aggressive law enforcement. In fact, we talk about this all the time, that we want to go after the criminals, and we want to go after them in a meaningful way, and we want to make sure that we get them prosecuted, and we want to make sure that we get them locked up. But when it comes to illegal immigration, not so much. We don't want to do that. One should ask why. What was the most obnoxious thing that Governor Gavin Newsom did is he went to the podium and he asked immigration enforcement officers, what do you fear? You know, it's nice to sit in the comfort of your air-conditioned office in a leather chair with security coming out of your rear end every single day of your life, where they have an advanced team that are looking at security concerns and protocols and such, right? And that's how you live your life, and you're asking enforcement officers that are out there as to what they fear. I don't know, Governor. Maybe why don't you turn on CNN? No, never mind, because they don't report on any of that. Not MSNBC. You might have to find yourself watching Fox or others that are the only mainstream media that are reporting on these attacks on ICE officers. Why don't you just look at some of your fellow Democrats around the country that are showing up at ICE facilities and making complete and total fools of themselves, demanding that they want to exercise their ability to regulate oversight and utilize oversight over immigration at that point in time, unannounced, no appointment, no letting immigration officials know who you are, why you are, what you're about, just so that you can get some media coverage on this, as though you're doing anything meaningful that's going to move this country forward and bring about a resolution to the immigration challenge that we find ourselves in this country, right? So what do you fear, immigration folks? Many have been killed already. Many have been shot. Many have been spit on. Many have been subjected to communicable diseases by such actions as these protesters and others and the immigrants themselves that aren't tested when they come into this country, right? So we have done a lot of things and a lot of things to happen that we ordinarily wouldn't do. Because when you come in the legal way, you have to go through a whole list of protocols before you're able to get in here. So what do you have to fear, immigration officer? What is it? Could it be the doxing that's going on, right? That they identify who that officer is, and then they go and they start terrorizing their family and putting their families at risk because they're putting photos of the immigration officers out there begging for people to try and identify them so that they can figure out who they are and then start going to their homes and making their families feel incredibly uncomfortable simply because their spouse, whether it be their wife or their husband, works for federal law enforcement, takes a constitutional oath to enforce the laws of the United States. Have you noticed that they never have a discussion about what the actual laws are that they're enforcing? Have you noticed that they never discuss that they are bound by that oath of office and the Constitution and laws of the United States to take action and enforce those laws? They never have that discussion. Why is that? Why would we want to pay people to be employed in a federal law enforcement agency that is tasked under the U.S. Code to do certain things and enforce certain laws and to follow those laws? Why would we want to pay these people to not do this? What would they do? I don't understand the mindset. Has anybody really thought this through? And meanwhile, we have the governor of one of the largest state economies in the United States, if not the largest, saying and going like Mr. Machismo man at the podium, "What do you have to fear?" Really? Are you kidding me? You're a joke. You have no clue. Why don't you go 2 weeks without security? We'll see how that works out. What do you have to fear, Governor? Please articulate that. If you're demanding an answer from federal law enforcement officials, why don't you offer up the same information and let's have complete transparency? What is it that you're fearing? You didn't fear COVID when everybody else in your state was being compelled to wear a mask when they dined in a restaurant. I guess that makes you Mr. Machismo man. Dining at French Laundry in Napa without a mask. Obviously didn't have the 6 foot separation or anything else that went on at that point in time. Rules for thee, but not for me. So why don't you tell us what you fear that you're spending taxpayer dollars for so much security for you and your family? Because you see, Governor, as law enforcement folks that are out there, they don't have that benefit. And in many cases, especially Border Patrol, they're out in the middle of nowhere, in many instances, by themselves. And if you don't think that law enforcement agents throughout this country have fear, you just don't simply understand what it is that they do. And law enforcement executives, like myself that served many, many years, would go to bed every night hoping and praying that you didn't get a call relative to an officer down. And you wore that worry every single solitary day. Now, maybe if you would spend a little time and go sit down with Border Patrol and immigration officers and have a frank round table discussion, I am sure that they can educate you as to their fears. This is not going to be a discussion about challenging them as to what they're doing, because they're doing it within the confines and the construct of the law. You and others have decided to put out so much misinformation about what they're actually doing, it's absolutely incredulous. They'll spend little or no time talking about all of the criminals that they have taken off the streets successfully and incarcerated, waiting for their due process. You see, their due process really kicks in when they commit a criminal act and they ultimately end up getting arrested for that criminal act in this country. There's a lot of nuances to immigration law when you decide to cross the border illegally and come into this country as to what you are entitled to. And maybe you should visit one of those fine educational institutions in your state and take a class on immigration law, like I did, so that you can gain a better understanding of what it is, how it works, and what they are what laws they are actually enforcing. In fact, just recently, there were some court cases that came out and said that immigration and others have been doing things fundamentally wrong and in violation of the law because they actually been releasing people back out onto the streets that they have no authority to do so, and they have to stay in a confined state. And in case you don't know what that means, incarceration. You stay in jail. Now, I'm sure your next response to that is going to be that it's dehumanizing. But that's the reality. The Democrats, as well as the Republicans, voted for these laws. They put these laws on the books. And in fact, almost without exception, everyone that is now flipped heavily participated in aggressive enforcement on the streets of this country at some point in time in the last 20 years. Why things change in their mind, I have no idea. Giving them the benefit of the doubt, I have a suspicion, though. But if you really wanted to be true, truthful to your constituents, you know what they fear. They fear the retaliation of a group of sick individuals that don't like the fact that these laws are on the books and there's actually a law enforcement agency that is compelled by law to enforce those laws. Plain and simple. We talk all about, you know, this adjudication process and whether or not they're getting due process. If you already have a valid deportation order, they went through and touched all the bases, they had their hearing, all of that happened, an immigration judge said they are to be deported, why would you be opposed to that? And don't say that you're not. You're passing laws every other month trying to handcuff immigration officials from enforcing the laws and catching these individuals that have valid deportation orders, most of which were issued under the Biden administration. So you can't even make the mischaracterization or to try and lead your people to believe that the tyrant Donald Trump and his administration is the one responsible for the vast majority of these deportation orders that actually exist. Some of these orders even go back to the Trump first administration, and some even further back than that. They've been running around in this country with a valid deportation order for a long time, and in many cases committing crimes. Why would you be opposed to those that fail to participate in the administrative process? You're fighting tooth and nail for due process. You're fighting for the administrative process. You're trying to punish enforcement officials because you're saying it's not happening. But those that have had the benefit of the administrative process and have not shown up, have not participated, have not played by the rules, why would you be opposed to deporting those individuals? Because a good number of those individuals have been put into deportation proceedings as well. But the proceeding actually needs a body to start with. So why would you be opposed to that? When you talk about immigration reform, we would do away with all of this? All of CBP and immigration touching the body of someone who crosses into this country illegally would go away? Is that the reformation that you're looking for? What do you fear, Governor Newsom? What do you fear? It's interesting. You don't fear any of this when it comes to a U.S. citizen. if there's a traffic attachment out there, guess what? You get stopped. You get asked. You provide proof of ownership of the vehicle. You provide proof of insurance. You provide all kinds of things that you are compelled by state law to have. And guess what? You've got a law enforcement agency that's compelled by law to enforce that law. And I can only speak for myself. I'm not a hypocrite on this issue. I spoke against constitutional sheriffs that refused to enforce the gun laws and the gun restrictions that you and others in California passed. And I said then, and I'll say again now, because this is exactly what the Biden administration did. They chose what laws that they were going to enforce, and the ones that they didn't like, they ignored. And they engaged in a process that they had, that was by no constitutional authority, no statutory authority, and they just did it. And I said then, relative to the gun laws, and I will say it again today, the last thing you want is to ever empower someone like you, Governor Newsom, to be able to decide what laws will be enforced and which ones won't. How many more shootings has to occur? How many more assaults have to happen? And how many more immigration and CBP officers need to wear masks in order to protect themselves, their identity, and the identity of their family, their loved ones, and their children from being harmed, for you to be moved? We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We spend time with folks from the Port of New Orleans every other week, and today we are joined by Emily Federer, Director of Sustainable Development for Port NOLA, and also Jennifer Nannetti, Director of Engagement Institute for Sustainable Infrastructure. We're going to be talking about the LIT being the first new greenfield container terminal in the U.S. in decades, and the first project in Louisiana to register with the Envision Sustainable Infrastructure Framework. That's a mouthful for sure. Folks, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Emily, first to you, describe the significance of this. What does this mean?
Yeah, so as you know, the position of the Port of New Orleans at the mouth of the Mississippi River is essential for trade and security for our entire country. With our connectivity through a third of the nation through our inland waterways and by rail, with our partners connecting us coast to coast into Canada and Mexico, is something that no other port in the world has access to. LIT, as you, I'm sure you're aware through talking to us every other week, provides a strategic foothold for us, for our trade security in the country, and not just for our imports of our consumer goods, but for our exports. So in the shipping industry, we know our ocean-going vessels are getting bigger, and soon our container ships are not going to be able to fit under our Crescent City Connection Bridge and cut off the Mississippi River for our container terminal operations. So LIT is really a strategic and historic project for the Mississippi River and for Louisiana in securing our position in our economy for trade in the country. And going through this project with Envision is something that we've talked about committing to for several years, and it's something that I'm really excited about moving forward with.
So when we talk about Envision and this sustainable infrastructure being greenfield, what does that actually mean, and why does that matter?
Mm-hmm. So the opportunity that LIT has, being a greenfield project — a greenfield just means that right now there's nothing built there. It's giving us a blank slate, basically, to create new infrastructure from scratch and try to do that in the best way possible. And that's something that Envision really challenges infrastructure projects to do, is to look at your project and to identify the best way you can build that project for the future. Because we all know when we're building something today, it's not just for today, it's for 50 to 100 years, even longer into the future. That piece of infrastructure is going to be with us. And how do we look at that to identify how we build it for tomorrow, and what will be coming tomorrow? There's things that we can't even imagine. I mean, if you look 20 years ago, could you imagine all the technologies we have in our hands with an iPhone? Changes are going to, you know, continue to come about that we can't even foresee for the future. But how do we prepare to build something that's going to be so long lasting for tomorrow?
So a lot of big words. I mean, that's kind of it in a macro sense, right? So let's get down to more of a granular level. What does that lead to? And how does that framework, that Envision framework, what does it mean in everyday terms?
Mm-hmm. Sure, I can explain that. Try to explain that. Envision has a lot in it, so it is a little bit difficult to break it down into a succinct paragraph, but what it really means is it's a structure that provides practical guidance for everyone working on infrastructure projects. So owners, planners, engineers, constructors, there's a lot of people who are involved in these projects, and it helps that group make more sustainable choices during the infrastructure development. There's a guidance manual that includes 5 sections. So those sections are named quality of life, leadership, resource allocation, natural world, and climate resilience. And they cover the full breadth of sustainability considerations, from human well-being to economic advancement to resource efficiency and environmental conservation and risk and resilience. And there's a set of questions for each topic representing a spectrum of possible ways to improve sustainable performance, from slightly improving just beyond conventional practice to conserving or restoring communities and environments. And the intent is to prompt conversations among a broad range of stakeholders to look at the project, but also look at external benefits and impacts that that project is having on the community. And this collaboration really results in more informed decisions about sustainability within the project. So that's the overall goal of what the Envision framework is looking at.
And I have to imagine a lot of this is driven by material usage and environmental concerns.
That's one element of it. So the resource
Let me put it in context as to why I'm asking that question. This actually makes your project, I guess, for all intents and purposes, more complicated. There's an easier way to do it by not doing this at all. But this raises a level of importance because there is, my understanding, there is a third-party validation process that looks at whether or not you are adhering to these tried-and-true principles as it relates to the development of this infrastructure on the greenfield. Would that be a fair characterization?
Oh yes, definitely. There's a rigorous third party evaluation, and I think maybe part of the question that you're trying to get to is how we're sourcing materials for the project. For example, one of the things that we're looking at, instead of trucking in from miles away the soils that are needed to build up the land for the terminal, we're looking at taking dredged river sand directly adjacent to the river. So that's going to reduce our wear and tear on the roads, the impact of the noise of the trucks coming in and out with, you know, dump truck loads of materials. So things like that try to make the project not only more sustainable from an emissions perspective, because we're reducing all of the diesel smoke that's coming out of the dump trucks by sourcing the soils locally from our Mississippi River, from our great resource that we have here, but also in terms of our community impacts to the noise, you know, not the wear and tear on the roads is going to be a big impact reduced from not trucking in all of those materials. So there's a lot of different things like that we look at, and we do have to provide a very high level of documentation to Envision that we're doing these things, that we're looking at these items, you know, that third party verification really provides an extra level of credibility.
And is this the first project in the state of Louisiana that's doing it under this construct?
Yes. So I don't know, Jennifer, if you want to take that one. There are projects verified and registered with Envision around the world, but we are the first project in Louisiana to take on this this level of sustainability on an infrastructure project.
Jennifer?
Yeah, they're agreed. This is the first project in Louisiana. There are more than 400 projects around the world that are verified in all different types of infrastructure. So numerous port projects throughout Canada and other parts of the United States. But this is really the first in the Gulf Coast as well.
Now, part of this process also requires community engagement, and I guess the shipping concerns would be involved as well.
In terms of the community, we've really been working with them very closely through the permitting process. There are required steps that you have to take in engaging with the community and getting their feedback. However, we've gone really above and beyond that. Over the past several years, we've done series of open houses, 9 in total, with the community members in different locations geographically. We have our community advisory councils, which also feeds into our feedback of how we respond to construct and where we give access to the terminal for the trucks and how that terminal is going to interface with the community. And this is all part of sustainability.
And from the community perspective, they get to rely on this third-party validation, right?
Yes. So, you know, I think we're not just saying, trust us, we're going to be sustainable. This is going above and beyond, looking at an external framework of how they implement and measure sustainability, not just through what we say we're doing, but an external for existing framework that's been tried and true to the five areas of Envision. And one of the things that I really love about Envision is a question that they pose for their projects is not just, are we doing our project right, but are we doing the right project at the right time? And it challenges us to go above and beyond what's required and above and beyond the status quo for infrastructure, as I said before, to build things better for the future.
So when we talk about sustainability and sustainable infrastructure, what does that actually mean?
Mm-hmm. Question. Really, it's looking at all different aspects of the infrastructure. So looking at, as you know, was mentioned earlier, what goes into building the infrastructure, what kind of resources are really needed to build infrastructure that will be durable, that will last for, you know, as Emily mentioned, 50 to 100 or maybe even longer than that. It also looks at how infrastructure is impacting things socially, impacting the communities around that infrastructure, even if it's an infrastructure that doesn't that people aren't interacting with on a daily basis. Things like water treatment plants that people may not be going to, but that water definitely has important considerations within the community. It's also looking at the environmental aspects, and it's looking at the resilience aspects of, you know, are there risks to this infrastructure? Are there, how long is this infrastructure going to last? Is it going to hold up to things like hurricanes that might be an issue in the area? So sustainability from a perspective of the Envision framework is very holistic and really looks at all of those elements. So sometimes people, when they think about sustainability, think about recycling or they think about habitat preservation, and it's really all of those things and many more. And also looking at the processes that are entailed to make sure that there is a lot of stakeholder inclusion, whether that be people within the project teams that are working on the infrastructure and the community, as Emily was talking about. So trying to be very holistic and not look at sustainability from a singular aspect.
And Emily, I got to imagine that y'all already took the public's concerns into consideration by even just choosing to going down this path, right? Because I think I'm right in this regard. You guys will be the first port to do a port development project under this construct.
I think we're the first container terminal that's being built from the ground up. There have been a couple other redevelopment projects, I think, with ports, but I think we are the very first container terminal that's starting from the ground up that's going through this Envision process.
Which is I guess was motivated by taking into consideration the community and mm-hmm. making sure that there's the appropriate engagement opportunity for them.
Yep.
So what are the next big milestones, real quick, if you don't mind? We only have about mm-hmm. a minute for the port relative to the LIT.
Yeah, really, we're waiting to hear back from our partners at the Army Corps of Engineers to hopefully get this project moving, and we're preparing to start moving all of our river sediments, and hopefully in the next few years get it open and move it forward through the Envision process.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to y'all, and thank you so much for joining us. It's very exciting, and I love the fact that y'all have embraced this opportunity with Envision, and I think it should provide a level of comfort for the constituents throughout that region where this LIT project is going to be developed, and they can rely on a third-party validation, which is, I think, huge. And I commend y'all for going down this path.
Thank you so much for having us today. I'm happy to talk about it.
Jennifer, Emily, y'all have a great weekend. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Jeremy Nagosian, senior fellow and economist at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We'll talk about this discussion relative to the White House issuing a warning about a link between Tylenol and autism. And what does the what What is the CDC and what are the others actually saying in their release? And we'll just go straight to the release with Jeremy and talk about what's actually said and whether or not there is any causal link there. And then talk about what the left's response has been to this. It was absolutely crazy. Pregnant women gone on the social media and they are just popping Tylenol because they feel like they have an obligation to prove a point, to show people that they're willing to risk Tylenol. They're sitting there rubbing their pregnant belly and popping Tylenol at the same time. Eugene Kantorovich joins us, senior research fellow with the Heritage, and we'll talk about the 10 countries that are now supporting a Palestinian state.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.